Hello, my name's Rupert Christiansen, and Taken 3 reminded me very much of Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times, and of course, Jacques Titi's Mononcle. I've laid an egg.
In 1979, Steven Seagal, Carl Weathers, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Jeff Speakman, James Hong, Gary Daniels, and Michael Dudikoff went on a sacred quest to carry the golden seed from a mythical super-strong Tibetan warrior to Los Angeles, California, where it was implanted into Cynthia Rothrock and Michelle Yeoh, the only two women at the time with the womb strong enough to bring the epic babies to term. When the two children were born, they were accidentally separated. One at a kung fu tournament featuring Al Leong, and the other when a nearby ammunition factory exploded. 32 years later, thanks to modern technology, they have found each other again. And every week, they are making podcast history. They are Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid. This podcast, people, explodes.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentary Podcast. It is our review of action movies in 2014. I am Dr. Action, and he is...
The Kick-Ass Kid! Hello, yes, and welcome to our 2014 Lowdown. It's where we go through all the action movies that were released in the year of 2014. Some may say the year of the Lord. I don't. Doc, how have you been?
I've been very well. How have you been? How was your Christmas?
Oh, it was Christmassy. You can hear how I was over on the Aftermovie Diner's New Year's Eve special episode, which I have to say was spanking, a jolly good funny time. And if you like the irreverent, crass sense of humour that we have here on Dr. Action, you'll definitely enjoy that over there. But no, I had a lovely Christmas. It was very good, enjoyed myself immensely. I released an album.
You may know him as John Cross from the podcast From the Aftermovie Diner, or you may not know him at all. But now you can know him as Miscellaneous Plumbing Fixtures with the release of his new album, Catch Up or Don't, See If I Care. Available now on Bandcamp, iTunes, Amazon, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever music is found. A full 16 new folk, blues, and rock tracks from this bearded singer-songwriter. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at aftermoviediner.com. For links to the album and to learn more, go to miskplumbingfixtures.blogspot.com or miskplumbingfixtures.bandcamp.com.
Very good. I didn't release an album.
What did you do? So how were the children? How was your lovely wife? Did you have a massive tree?
We did have a massive tree. We had a great Christmas after a up and down 2014. We had a bloody good Christmas. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
Good, sir. Good. I think 2014, and forgive me if I'm wrong here, sir, but I think 2014 was so shit because there were so few Jason Statham films in the cinema. What do you say?
I'd say, well, there was one. There was one Jason Statham in there. What's it? And it was like a diluted Jason Statham. It was a Jason Statham light film, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Which but we'll get on to that. The Expendables 3.
I don't know how you have Jason Statham in a movie and don't just have him in every scene. I don't know how you do that.
I don't know, especially when he nearly died making it.
Yeah, right. You owe him, yeah. Stallone. Let us down. Anyway, we'll get to that, because we're going to go month by month by month. But what have you been watching recently, sir? Have you been watching any action films?
Action films just recently. Let me have a look. I have watched 22 Jump Street. Bit of action in that.
I looked through a keyhole at someone's tartars.
Yes, they're nice. The Prince with Jason Patrick, Bruce Willis, John Cusack.
Oh, yeah, how was that, sir?
Oh, we're bad. That wasn't bad at all.
Because I've seen that on the shelves of my local Best Buy. And as you know, I have a Best Buy card.
Oh, I have a Best Buy card. I'll have to take this off your hands. What would I suggest?
I wasn't going to buy it. I was going to wait and see if it came on Netflix.
Yeah, probably. Probably might be best to do with it. It is good. It is good. But I don't know if you sort of like rewatch it a lot. But it's not a bad film at all. It's not a bad action film at all. What's wrong with John Cusack's hair?
I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
It looks like he's going to the same hairdresser as Seagal. It looks... it's definitely dyed black.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I mean, because what is he, 82 years old now?
84, I believe.
84.
Yeah, he made Say Anything, 1937.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Before he went off to World War II. It was a good film. And I also watched He Who Dares. A British action film.
Is that the one you sent me? The who's in it again?
Oh, no, it's a recent film.
Oh.
So it's all right. It's okay. Yeah, it's very much a remake of The Raid,
a British remake of The Raid?
Kind of, yeah. It's all right. It's okay.
What's he do? Go into an apartment building and fend off a bunch of security guards who are nonchalantly watching television while drinking smelly tea?
Yes, yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
I watched a British gangster film, We Still Kill the Hard Way. That's good. It's a bit like a
shitty
British
title, but yeah.
It's like a old gangster type Expendables film.
Oh really? Any names in it?
Who's the guy who played the Saint in the 80s?
Don't know.
Ian
Ogilvy.
Yep.
Oh okay.
Alison Doody from Indiana Jones.
I thought maybe you meant me. No. I played the Saint back in the 60s.
Yeah, if he was in it, it'd have been a lot better.
I would have got everybody in the cast pregnant. I would have got Alison Doody and given her a doody.
A bloody good time. It's not a bad thing. It's basically old gangsters killing chaps. So if you like that sort of shit, you there must enjoy it.
I like the idea and the sound of it. I want to know why they didn't call me for a part.
And The Guest as well. Watch that.
Yes, we're going to come to The Guest because it actually got its release, I think, in Toronto in January or one of those film festivals. Because the list we're going from is the first time the movie screened, and I believe it first screened in January of 2014. So why don't we kick off there? What was The Guest like, sir?
Excellent.
I haven't yet seen it. I have it. I just haven't got around to seeing it. And I did contemplate watching it for this show, but then that would be doing work.
Silly, sir.
And I don't do that.
It's really good.
Nice.
Really good. Very good. You liked his last film, right?
I liked Your Next, yes.
Yes. It's nothing like that.
Okay.
No, it's not horror. It's got some sort of horror elements, but it is it's like an action thriller. It's good. It's a very good film.
I've seen the trailer and I can't wait. Before we crack on with January though, I have seen since the new year, I've seen 15 movies, believe it or not.
Beat me, I've got six.
Had action. I watched Invasion USA. The
nice.
Chuck Norris movie, which is like Chuck Norris's best movie, despite Chuck Norris being in it. Like Chuck Norris is always the worst thing in every film, always. But Invasion USA is a good movie, like despite him being in it. I mean,
we've got to do that this year.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, like imagine Invasion USA, exactly the same movie, but it's Kurt Russell. Instantly a 10-star out of 5-star movie. Like, instantly it doubles the amount of stars it gets.
Yeah.
Then I watched Patrick Swayze in Red Dawn, which is far too serious for its own good. Considering its ludicrous fucking premise, it's far too fucking serious. Like, You know what I mean? Like, what's his name? C. Thomas Howell has got the right idea. They just shoot anyone who shows up, basically. Then I watched War Inc., which has, I think...
I've seen that.
I think some of Cusack's best kickboxing stuff since...
There is a joke in
Gross
that...
Point Blank.
...that made me piss myself, but I can't remember where it was.
Okay. No, the best person in it is Joan Cusack, when the guy comes up to her and he's, like, giving her shit or whatever, and she's like, I have got a can of mace, and I will mace you, motherfucker.
It's kind of like a sequel to Gross Point Blank, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But, I mean, of course, in Gross Point Blank, he kickboxes with Benny the Jet.
Yeah, that's just a fucking great film, Gross Point Blank.
Because, of course, Don the Dragon Wilson is the kickboxing sparring partner in Say Anything.
Mm.
And, of course, he talks about Sport of the Future kickboxing in Say Anything, which is all Cusack, because Cusack was, like, one of the early followers of kickboxing. And
yeah,
actually
he should
quite
have been a much bigger action star than he was.
He should, well, in terms... I think he gets labelled, you know, like Con Air or whatever, he gets labelled as, like, the intelligent, talky one in a suit rather than the kick-ass one. But he can... Like, if you watch that and you watch War Inc., the fight sequences, which are clearly him doing it, he's really good. Like, he's really, really good. There was no reason why he couldn't have gone on and done wham-bam action movies. I just think he's a bit too cerebral for it. But War Inc's okay. It's a good satire. It's funny, but there's some nice action in it. The other guys, that has action in it, the Ferrell and Wahlberg movies, pretty good. And then
I've seen that.
I topped it off recently with Mad Max, Mad Max 2, and then Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol. They were the last three action movies I watched. And I had a bit of a revelation about the Mad Max series, which I don't know whether I'm happy about.
Yeah, you don't like them.
Well, no, I do like them. And I'm aware of, like, why they're considered classics, but... I just don't feel them the way other people feel. I don't get excited about them the way other people get excited about them.
Can you see why people would love them though?
Oh yeah, no, completely. No. I mean, I gave them like 4 stars each on Letterboxd.
Out of 10.
Out of 5. out of 28. I completely understand why people see them as classics, and I kind of want to see them as classics myself. And therefore, I'm kind of annoyed that I don't.
What we'll have to do is, nearer May time, we'll have to do a Mad Max show.
Okay. I mean, my only thing is that I have difficulty connecting with him as a hero. I mean, he just doesn't... I guess I like shit a little less...
Well, the thing is...
Realistic, I guess, is the word.
He's not doing it. The first one, he's doing it for a reason. He's, you know, he's Mad Max because of, you know, he's avenging his wife and his kid. So it's like a very much an exploitation action film. The second one, he doesn't do anything for anybody really. The only reason he drives the tanker at the end is because
he's got nothing else left.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think he never, like the second one. He doesn't really do any. It's not like why he's doing stuff. He doesn't really do much. I mean, he happens to have a shotgun with some bullets, which is above the rest of them, and he manages to cap a couple of people. But it's not like he does something so incredible with the tanker that they don't get hold of it, because they do. They get hold of it no matter who was driving, really. You know, when he gets the claw in the shoulder, maybe he's a bit more like pushing forward and pressing forward and a bit more kind of dedicated than some would be. But, you know, he still ends up like crashing it.
Useless women drivers.
And he, you know, he crashes his car like the moment that he leaves the compound. And like he never really does anything. The guy with the gyrocopter throwing Molotov cocktails actually kills more bad guys or causes more mayhem. Bruce Spence. So I just... Only because Mad Max 2 is set up like this big, like, she was the road warrior. There's like this big voiceover and blah, 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 blah. But he never really does anything to earn that. It's
the Warrior X, the bearded, crushed bastard of a man.
When I first met Max, I wanted to blow him.
Yeah, I wanted to touch him. I wanted him to touch me on the willy.
I wanted
when
him
I was
to,
a kid.
I wanted to stick my little finger up his ass.
Yeah.
I wanted to take that little flute thing he gives me, that little whistle thing, and stick it right up his ass. Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry, the whistle thing is in Thunderdome. The music box in part two. Sorry. We don't need another hero.
See, Beyond Thunderdome really should be awesome because it starts off really well.
I've rewatched the first 45 minutes of Thunderdome. I haven't yet finished it yet. I'm obviously doing the whole series.
I go to scene selections.
Yeah.
And then look for the bit with the last 20 minutes with the car, you know, the big car chase thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did. Last time I watched it, the bit with the kids, I was just like, no.
Yeah, right.
Turn it off straight away.
But it's Mad Max and the Temple of Doom, isn't it?
Yeah. It was more Hollywood.
Thunderdome builds him up as this, like, here's this great warrior and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, he only defeats Blaster by, like, the skin of his fucking teeth. And even then he's an idiot and goes, we had a deal in front of everybody. I mean, he should keep his mouth shut.
I'd have killed him.
I don't know. I don't connect.
Did you know, right? You know the guy in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, you know the guy who's like bald and he's got the mask sticking out of his back on the stick?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He sang the theme tune to Scott and Charlene's wedding on Neighbours.
Really?
That's true.
Wow.
Angry Anderson.
How the low have fallen.
No, it was fucking huge for him. It's more popular than Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Fuck Neighbours.
I watch Neighbours. I don't mind Neighbours.
Is it still on now?
It's still on. It's the best soap on British TV. Oh, no. Dude. If you, my wife, right, and my kids watch EastEnders. Claire hates EastEnders. Kids love it, right? It takes a fucking year for a story to become resolved. Neighbours, it takes 10 minutes. It's fucking brilliant. So we were watching
stealing all the cupcakes in the coffee shop, Nigel. That'll be me, Bob. Oh, all right.
there's this girl, right, on it at the minute. She's getting brainwashed, right?
What, by like a cult or something?
By like a cult, right? She's getting brainwashed.
A cult?
Yeah,
they have
right.
Cults in Neighbours.
Right, no, she's just getting brainwashed.
Okay, right.
Yesterday on the episode, she was getting brainwashed, right?
Right.
And everything was going to pot, right? Today, while she's listening to this tape that's brainwashing her, her mum stops the tape and she goes, what's going on? She goes, she's brainwashing you. She goes, oh, that bitch. And it was resolved. In EastEnders, that would be 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
I can't grumble about it.
Why is there a cult in a cul-de-sac in Melbourne?
Oh, they're rampant over there.
We've got rampant cults
over here. Cults.
Every other
like
guy you meet.
Mix.
Every other guy you meet is a dirty cult. yeah, okay, fair enough, Neighbours then. I remember watching it years and years and years ago when it was on at other people's houses or at school or something. I never watched it like at home myself. I never raced home to watch it or.
She was probably my first celebrity crush, Kylie Minogue.
She was? Kylie Minji Munge?
Yeah.
Fair enough. My first celebrity crush was Jennifer Connelly from The Labyrinth.
Oh, was it? Mine was David Bowie's penis from that film.
Why are you looking at my balls?
I'm standing in your window. Look at my cock.
I'm dipping my cock through your window hole. It's magic.
Fucking was magic. It was huge.
It was huge. It looked like it was... He was smuggling Brazil nuts.
Yeah, have you grown an extra leg, Mr. Bowie? Seeds in your pants.
And then I watched Ghost Protocol, Mission Impossible 4, which I remember liking a lot more the first time.
I like that.
It's okay.
It's the next one's going to be better. Guarantee it.
Yeah, next one's going to be better. It's
directed by the same guy who did Jack Reacher.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
It's going to be good.
And I appreciate what they're doing with Ghost Protocol. And obviously, I am impressed by the tallest building stunt and everything. But it doesn't really gel for me. The plot is all a bit.
It suffers from shit bad guy yet again.
Yeah, shit bad guy. That's, you see, say what
that's the problem with all of the Mission Impossibles.
Except part three.
Do you think Philip Seymour Hoffman could have took Tom Cruise in a fight?
Oh,
I want to see a big fight.
Not in a fight, but, like, he's fucking brutal. I mean, he is fucking brutal in that movie.
It's ages. I've only ever seen Mission Impossible 3 once.
See, I like Mission Impossible 3, even though it's a J.J. Abrams movie.
And that's why I don't like it.
Yeah, and even though it's got Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in it, who needs to be smacked about his floppy lips several times, his stupid little blank fucking pouty billboard face needs to be punched.
Like I say, it's ages since I've seen it.
But Maggie Q is in it, isn't she?
I've not seen it in years.
But I actually like Mission Impossible 3. It's my second favourite after the first one.
The first one's great. It even mentions Leicester City in it.
Is it Maggie Q? Yeah, it is Maggie Q. All right, I was right. Maggie Q's in it. Peg is an annoying tit in it. Peg is actually, like, doing what he's meant to be doing instead of, we're going to make him a guy in the field now, which just sucks because I would have much rather Ving Rhames.
Yeah, yeah. I like Ving Rhames in them.
Yeah, so do I. So, Mission Impossible 4, good set pieces, bad movie. That's what I'm going to go down and say.
Yeah, the set pieces are great. Tom Cruise is good in it as well, so.
Yeah, but you've got this, like, bit at the end where this, like, doddery old, like, intelligent bad guy is giving Cruise a run for his money in a fight, and I just don't. I'm just like, pfft.
Yeah, that's what I don't get.
Cruise will do a bit of hot, you know, chop socky, and the guy would be dead. He'd go, "Oh, my hip," and then he would die.
Yeah.
He'd go, "My goiter," or "Oh, I've got piles," or something. He's like so old, and he's not only that, but they set him up as a theorist. All he is a theorist. That's all he is. Who's gone a bit nuts and believes that if you had a nuclear war, people would be more united after it. That's the whole plot.
That's probably true.
Well, yeah, but, like, we also had 9/11 and people were united after it for about 5 minutes. People were like, "Oh, yeah, we're all united." Oh, no, actually, I don't agree with that.
Actually, you're a bit of a cunt.
Human beings just went back to being petty-minded dicks.
Fuckwits, yeah.
So you can imagine that, can't you? Oh, we blew up 6 billion out of the 7 billion people on the planet to help world peace. Right. How long did world peace last? About a week.
We didn't think it through.
There is, however, a much smaller line at the deli counter of Sainsbury's.
Every grey sky, whatever the saying is.
Oh, yeah, no, you mean everything has a silver lining?
Yeah, every grey cloud has a silver lining. Or, you know.
I can get my cheese.
Oh, wait, no, that's just Fallout.
But, yeah, so that's what I've been watching, and it was okay. I don't think I've watched a classic yet in 2015. I watched Gridlocked, which fucking kicks ass.
I've not seen that for years, dude. I love that Gridlocked film. That is a good film. I love Tim Roth in that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy on TV who's had a sex change, and now he's a lesbian. Damn good film.
I love that. It's such a good
buddy film.
Yeah, it really is. And it's surprising, because you wouldn't put Roth and Tupac Shakur together like
I remember seeing that, because the first time ever I watched it was on VHS, and I sort of looked at the cover and I thought, I don't know if Tupac Shakur could actually act, and they seemed like a really weird team up. I thought, I want something to watch, so I got it, and I was really impressed with it.
Oh yeah, it's really. I mean, it is fucking hilarious. It is absolutely fucking hilarious. Tim Roth in it is just out of this world brilliant.
Yeah, it's probably one of his best roles, if not the best. I think I've seen him.
No, I mean the best for me is still Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
I'm not seeing it.
Fair enough. So let's go on to 2014. We'll do the first few months and then we'll dip right into listener feedback, which we got some of this week. So the first action movie I'm seeing of 2014 was Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, which, again, I own, haven't seen yet. But have you seen, Chief?
I've started watching it, but I got distracted by something and I didn't finish it. But what I did see was quite good. I've got to finish it.
Okay. And then The Guest. You said The Guest really good.
Fantastic film. Really good film.
A lot of action?
Not loads of action.
Compared to your next, which has quite a bit.
It's a slow build, The Guest, but when the action's on screen, it is very good action.
Okay. Then there was, like, Ride Along, which I could have gone for being a sort of new Beverly Hills Cop-like comedy action franchise. That would have been really great. Sadly, it's not funny enough and there's not enough action in it. It's okay. It's a 2.5, 3-star movie at best. And Ice Cube and Kevin Hart could be a really good, like, mix, because obviously Ice Cube can do the action and Kevin Hart can do the funny, but I don't know, man. It didn't speak to me particularly. I might watch it again. There's a couple of good car chases in it, but it's.
I've got to watch that, but I will watch it.
I interviewed the guy who did the music for it.
Oh, Brian Tyler.
No. No, not Brian Tyler. It was
the guy, wasn't it?
No, and it wasn't Christopher Lennertz either. It was, or was it Christopher Lennertz? Yeah, it was. It was Christopher Lennertz. It was Christopher Lennertz, yeah. Because, you know, for a movie featuring Ice Cube and Kevin Hart, what you really want is a white Jew doing the music. So.
Oh, it's what I insist on.
A white Jew does the music for this show, to be fair. So,
yeah, he does, yeah. I love them.
They're great.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, indeed. Oh, wood, just like the Welsh. So then next up, oh, look at that. Probably one of the greatest action movies of the year, if not certainly the greatest foreign language action movie of the year, The Raid 2 on January 21st. Look at that.
Excellent. What a film.
What a film. What a film. It was absolutely fantastic. Probably it was in my top 12 for the year, which you can find over at the After Movie Diner website. Go to aftermoviediner.com and you can see my top 12. A lot of action in my top 12 this year, sir. There was a lot that I saw that I really thought was worth mentioning, and it was a lot of action. It came number, I think it was number 4 in my top 12.
Very good. It's definitely in my top 5. There's not much I can really say. I think we already covered it on a show anyway. I love The Raid 2.
Yeah, so you can read all about it on aftermoviediner.com, and you can go over to amdpodcast.blogspot.com, search The Raid 2 in the little search box there, and come up with a podcast that Doctor and I did about it, which is fantastic. In fact, what I'll do is I'll put the link on the top 12 article as well, so you can just click there, it'd be nice and easy. I'm surprised I haven't done that. And the other action movie from January, certainly with the US release, which is number 5 in my top 12, so we've got two from the top 5, is Non-Stop. We won't be talking about remakes here. This is Non-Stop, or as I like to call it, Throat Punching at 30,000 Feet.
Damn good film. Very good film.
I think hugely underrated movie. I've watched it several times and I still love it.
It's good. It's a really good film. I took my daughter to see it and she's now a huge Liam Neeson fan. She's 12.
Yeah.
So it's a really good film.
I say after Taken, it's his second best action movie.
I've not seen Walk Among Tombstones yet.
And that's not an action movie. That's a detective film.
Oh, okay.
But my top three recent Liam Neeson movies are Taken, Nonstop, and Walk Among the Tombstones, in that order.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, they're my top three.
I don't think there's going to be anybody knocking Taken off the top side. It was...
It'll be the greatest action movie he ever does. I'd be surprised. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm seeing Taken 3 tonight at 11:45 p.m. in reclining seats, and I can't wait. But I don't think anything will ever knock Taken off the top spot.
How can it?
But Nonstop came pretty damn close. It's the same director who did the less good Unknown.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Which is all right, but it's less good.
The problem with that one is... It was being, you know, the poster is basically Taken. They pushed it like a Taken film, and it's not. It's like a mystery, isn't it?
Right, which is what Walk Among the Tombstones is like. They, like, made it again. It's Liam Neeson. I'm carrying a gun. But
I'll fucking shoot you through the face. Don't tell me where my daughter is. Your daughter's not missing. I mean, if I don't solve the case, of course.
Because Unknown is like... They've taken my identity.
Yet I want it back.
Yeah, so even though I don't know what it is. Yeah.
I will find you, and I will kill you if you don't give me my identity back. If you don't return the plane.
But Nonstop, though, it literally is, where's the bomb? A fucking throat puncher, fucking... Rrr. It's great, like every 5 seconds. He even kills his partner... He just fucking kills him in the bathroom. That's an awesome fight as well. Mm. Like, how do you choreograph? Like, Liam Neeson's 6 foot, whatever he is, 4 or something. And the other dude's
huge.
Yeah, the other dude's no tiny guy either. It's not like he's a midget. He's probably like 5'11", 6 foot, something like that. How do you choreograph an awesome fucking fight in a airplane toilet?
It's amazing you say that, because the film underneath Nonstop on this list is that awkward moment, and that's what it should have been. An awkward moment in a bathroom where they're sort of like, you put your fist there and I'll punch you and kick me, and then we carry on fighting.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's a really good film.
Yeah.
It's a really damn good film.
And I love the... I mean, and I... See, what I want from my Neeson, the reason why I love Taken and the reason why I love Nonstop, and the reason why I love 24, to be fair, is when there isn't someone like looking over his shoulder telling him, oh, you can't do that, Neeson will just arm break, throat punch, suffocate, nut kick like anyone in his way. And I like that. I don't want due process because it's a movie. I want it to throat punch, arm break, like cock, neck, knee, every person.
That's why Taken worked so well.
Yeah.
It's, like I said on the thing, it's Daddylante. It's Vigilante with dads.
Yeah. Listen, I've got a pitch for you.
How about this? Daddylante.
It's Vigilantes, but with dads. Exactly. And the nice thing about Besson is it's just like, he doesn't care how fucking insanely, narrow-minded and xenophobic it is. You just wind Neeson up and let him fucking loose. And I think it's hilarious that people have watched that movie and then gone, oh, I'm not going to go to Paris. I think that's hilarious. Did you hear Neeson saying this recently?
No.
Neeson has said, like, Taken has stopped people, like, visiting Europe. Like, that's hilarious.
I'd say yesterday's tragic events might have done more for that as well.
Well, unfortunately, he said this before yesterday's tragic events. But fucking awesome film, Nonstop. It's Taken at 30,000 feet. If you can't get into it, if you can't get behind it, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, it's a really good film.
I've heard some people like be off about it, and I'm like, no.
I think it's because they're expecting Taken, and it's not Taken.
No, it's not Taken, but it's damn near close. I mean, he's suffocating, strangling, throat punching. I mean, no, he's not like driving iron bars through people's thighs and electrocuting them, but like. And I'm not fucking any drug addicts. I will fuck you, Lenny. He's not doing that, but I don't know. I still think it's... I give it a close second to Taken. He's not come better yet in other action films, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I can go with that.
I just really liked the plot. I just really liked it. I just thought it was done really well. And that bit, I know it's in the trailer and I know it's even on the poster, but that bit when the...
The gun floats towards
him. The gun floats towards him and he grabs it. Every time I watch it, I come.
What more can you ask from a film?
I can't even control it. It was really embarrassing. I was sat next to a woman I was trying to, like, have sex with in the face. And I was just sat there, was watching this movie, and I just went... And that bit happened where he, like, lifts up in the air and the gun comes towards him and he grabs and he shoots the gun. I just went, everywhere. I mean,
it's gone in my eyes.
It went everywhere. She's now partially blinded. She has retina damage.
They do say that the spunk comes out at 30 miles an hour.
So it's amazing. We did gloss over the Monkey King. I didn't see it. Did you see the Monkey King?
The Monkey King.
Donnie Yen and Chow Yun Fat.
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, fair enough. It's all a bit fantasy, isn't it, Monkey King? It's all a bit
it's one of those fantasy action films.
Oh my god, there's a monkey man here with a nose like a penis.
Lovely.
Like literally a big wobbly penis.
have a
look. So yeah, we missed Monkey King. Neither of us saw it. Okay, so RoboCop. Did you ever see that, the remake?
I did.
And?
Did I gave in? It's not as good as the first. It's not as good as the original. No way. Never could be. But it's not the worst remake that's ever been made. But it's not.
But it is the worst that they remade it.
It's no worse than RoboCop 3.
No, but meaning, what I mean is, the quality of the movie notwithstanding, the fact that they dared to remake RoboCop.
They should never have touched it anyway.
That's what I mean, yeah.
No, they should never have touched it. RoboCop is a film that they should never have touched.
You should never have touched my RoboCop.
There's some good bits in it, like, you know, when you see what's left of him.
Yeah.
And they do that. It does look good. What they tried to do is they tried to put more story into it than what was needed.
Right.
By the looks of it, if he ever made a sequel, they'd give him a robo dick so he could still shag his wife.
Nice.
But it's
I've
it's
got not... different vibrating settings, my
yes,
dear.
Yes, it's lovely.
I can have it slow. I can have it fast. I can have it wobble about the place. It's marvellous. It's fantastic. And there's no risk of AIDS.
There never is.
Oh, I can just stick it in your bum.
But yeah, it's...
He goes near it, and she goes, I don't like it! And that's it, that's the end of the movie.
Put it away, Robo!
That's the end of the movie. Yeah. It's just a kitchen sink drama set up in the north. I'd like to fuck you. I don't want it! Go on, let me fuck it. I don't want it!
Ken Loach's RoboCop.
Ken Loach's RoboCop 2. The
and
series...
it all happened under a conservative government. I blame Thatcher for this RoboCop fiasco.
Ken Loach's searing drama about racism and sex in the North.
RoboCop.
Anyway, so next up, on my birthday, no less, February 12th, 3 Days to Kill. And I went and saw this with my good friend James Wallace, and there is an After Movie Diner episode about it. And what was hilarious is neither of us looked into it at all. We didn't know what it was, except that it was like Kevin Costner
I'm sure this came out, you know, I'm sure that was the release date, but I think it came out just after, because I was in New York, wasn't I? And we didn't go and see it, because I would have gone and seen that.
Yeah, maybe it was a bit later then I went and saw it. But I don't... Or maybe I saw it earlier. Maybe I'd already seen it.
I'm not sure. Because, I mean, I would have definitely said about going to see that because I really wanted to see it.
But it was basically Kevin Costner doing Taken from the poster is what we assumed. So we were like, fine, we'll go see it. And I never forget the fear in our eyes when we were sat in the theatre and the credits are rolling and it says directed by McGee. And yes. Both of us looked at each other and went, what the fuck? We didn't know this. Like, Jesus.
But it's good to have you didn't know that.
Right, because it's actually a fun movie. I really enjoyed it.
I watched that film and I sat there loving the shit out of it. It was one of those films, I loved the shit out of it, but if you ask me now what was my favourite bit, I can't really remember it, but it is a really, really good film, I thought.
I really enjoyed it too, and I was really surprised. Maybe it was the element of surprise. Maybe I saw McGee and I was like, and then...
You see McGee and you just think, this is going to be shit. So the fact that even if it was like just all right, you probably think, that was really good.
Oh, it was really good. It's, of course, Luc Besson, or Luc Besson, as I like to call him. Luc Besson and McGee put together pretty good. Amber Heard, completely and utterly pointless and awful, but Hayley Steinfeld and Kevin Costner, lots of fun, good times.
It's like a really good like sort of father-daughter movie with some good action scenes in it and some funny bits as well.
Just don't be snobby, people. Embrace it and enjoy it. It's good times.
It is good times. I enjoyed that film.
Good. Excellent. Vengeance, I didn't see. That's Trejo, Jason Mewes. It's an ITN production. So it's done by the News.
Excellent. I should watch that then.
Danny Trejo, Jason Mewes, 50 Cent, Donald Logue, and Tech Nine. Wow, what a cast.
Oh, why have I not seen this yet?
Yeah, what a cast that has.
Oh, let's stop the podcast now so I can go and see that film.
Yes. 300 Rise of an Empire, I didn't see that, did you?
Yes, I saw that.
Any good?
The action's good. Eve Green gets tits out.
Of course.
It's all right. Passes the time.
So then we have Need for Speed, another movie I didn't see but got basically swept under the carpet. Nobody fucking saw it. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't see that one either.
Okay, but March 13th, right after Need for Speed, Captain America the Winter Soldier, wasn't a huge fan of the ongoing plot, but loved the fucking action. Doc?
I fucking love this film. It's one of my favourites, if not my favourite film of the year. Loved it.
Top of fucking your top 10,
loved
is it?
Possibly, yeah. There's a few. I've still not properly done it because really I don't think anybody cares about my top 10.
I care about your top 10 and the Doctor Action listeners care about your top 10.
But yeah, it's probably been my favorite Marvel film.
First 30 minutes or 45 minutes or first hour, let's say, brilliant. It's like almost the reverse of Guardians of the Galaxy. I love the last half hour of Guardians of the Galaxy. Love the hell out of it.
Mm.
And I love, like, the first hour of Captain America the Winter Soldier. I think the end of Captain America Winter Soldier is a real problem. A real big problem. Both in the Marvel ongoing universe and in the plot of a standalone movie. And I hate that it's reduced to CGI things falling into the water while Captain America tries to put a disc drive into a slot. Like, I just don't care.
I get that. I get that. You know, you've got this whole plot going on and it ends with a big CGI.
Right, but the kidnapping of Samuel L. Jackson car chase bit.
That is a great action scene.
Fucking brilliant. The shootout on the bridge with him
that's also fucking brilliant.
Yeah, no, the action, man, is top fucking notch. I mean, it really
is. For a Marvel film that prides itself on being adults and children friendly.
Yeah.
That pushed the action.
Oh, it really did. It really, really did. And like I say, I will give it props for the first hour. But then, you know, I didn't much like the ending of The Wolverine, and I love that fucking movie. So, I mean, you know, it's up there for me with, like, The Wolverine in terms of action and comic books and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was very lackluster. I mean, maybe it was what was going on with me in 2014, but a lot of or maybe just because Iron Man 3 was just so fucking good, that every kind of comic book movie I saw in 2014, I was just a bit lukewarm to when I saw them. I've subsequently bought them and watched them again and much preferred them on a second viewing. But so then we get Sabotage, which you loved and I didn't.
Yes.
It's the first one of the year that I was very cold on versus you're very warm on.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Different for Arnie. A bit more of a serious role. I get why people don't like it, though, because the supporting cast are just one of the most bunch of despicable bunch of vagrants I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah, I just thought the script was shit. I thought Arnie was really good in it. Like, I thought Arnie was really, really good in it. I loved Arnie in Escape. I think Arnie, a lot of people have gone, oh, post-Governor Arnie's awful. No, post-Governor Arnie is better than ever in terms of acting ability. It's better than ever.
Acting, he's better than he was.
Yeah. Now,
much better.
The movies aren't necessarily, the movies are never going to be the fucking run of shit that he had. I mean, that stupid article we had posted on Doctor Action and After Movie Diner group about is The Rock better than Arnie? Fuck no. I mean, look, in terms of like being an action star or whatever, you could probably like have some kind of discussion about it. But just in terms of quality of movies, I mean, fucking Terminator, fucking Commando, fucking Total Recall, Predator, fucking, like, you're out of your fucking mind. Arnie had a run of movies in the 80s, which will never be fucking beaten in terms of quality. I mean, it was really insanely good. So you can't...
I think what Mo said was spot on. The Rock needs to learn to say no to scripts.
Yeah, right, completely. I like I said, I wrote this thing about it and I listed all the great movies that Arnie has been involved in. And look, you could say what you like about Arnie the actor or Arnie the comedian or Arnie whatever back in the 80s, and I would probably agree with you. I think he's a better actor now than he was back then. But in terms of quality of movies and quality of fucking directors, look at the directors he worked with. I mean, just some of the best directors of the 80s. So, you know what I mean? Like, you can't... James Cameron back then was, like, top of his fucking game.
Yeah, will The Rock ever make a film that's as good as huge... as Terminator 2.
Never.
Terminator 2 was fucking massive.
Right.
Massive.
But then look at him, his work with Verhoeven and also, I mean, you just can't. You know what I mean? Like, Arnie is a fucking legend for a reason.
He took risks. I mean, you know, the film was 18. He was in it. I know it's probably a bit different now. You know, you've got to get the people asses on seats in the cinema. But do you think Dwayne Johnson would go, oh, I'm going to make a film that's like a fucking hard R.
No, because even his Walking Tall is a 15, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He won't do it. I don't think he'll do it. And I think Arnold Schwarzenegger took risks. Even after he made Twins, he was still making, like, Total Recall.
Arnie took risks. He made Junior.
Well, he knew what people wanted. Yeah, he did make Junior, yeah. Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
With Sinbad.
But no, I think the one thing that doesn't ever get said about Arnie, and it's the same thing that doesn't get said about Stallone, which is even more fucking remarkable, is that they're intelligent guys. I don't give a fuck how they talk. I don't give a fuck what kind of like movies they make in terms of like guns and stuff. They're intelligent fucking guys. They really are. Like, you don't... I know what people laugh at about American politics and stuff. You don't get to be governor in America without being, an intelligent guy. Certainly not the governor of California, where there's a lot of, like, you know...
It's a huge economy.
Right. It's, like, one of the third largest in the world or something. Like, it's just...
Put it this way, right?
He picked good people to work with, and he picked good scripts, and there's no evidence, apart from Fast Five, which... people could even point out as being a fluke. There's no evidence that fucking The Rock knows what the fuck he's doing.
you say about Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California. Huge job. Mayor of London, Boris Johnson. Who would you prefer?
Right. I don't have a bike, I have a tank. You have Boris bikes. I have fucking Arnie tank. Ah! Yeah. I go down to the supermarket in my fucking tank. I get everything for free. I love America.
Vote for me or I'll be back. And then in London, you get...
Hello, I'm Boris Johnson. When I was at school, people used me as a cum dumpster.
Aren't we all so terribly rich?
So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think that Arnie is a fucking legend. And I think that he's very, very good in Sabotage. I was just ashamed I didn't like the movie.
Yeah, good action scenes, though, when they came.
But yeah, he's... The Rock compared to... There's no comparison.
I've not got a problem with The Rock. It's just...
In terms of quality of movies. Like, name a single standalone Rock vehicle. So take the Fast franchise out of it. That even comes close to fucking Raw Deal, let alone The Terminator.
Snitch.
But it doesn't.
I've never seen it. Right. I've got no interest in seeing it.
You know what I mean?
He can't sell a film to me, The Rock. I've not even seen Hercules. I've got no interest in seeing Hercules.
I love him in the Fast and Furious franchise. I think it's not just him, is it?
That's Paul Walker and Vin Diesel.
But that's everything. Like the thing
it's
about
an ensemble,
those movies,
it's an ensemble cast,
right?
And I'll see the next one because obviously it's Paul Walker's last film. But Statham's in it. It's not The Rock. I'm not going, oh, it's The Rock in it, isn't it?
Yeah, the Statham is the draw for us people, of course, us fans, us Statham fans. It's about time we get back some more Statham because we've got Wild Card coming out at the end of January, and then we have. Fast and Furious in April, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying. I don't even know when that's getting released here, Wild Card. It's probably going to be like October because the cons.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. The Wild Card, it's got a poster up. It has a release date. I think it looks like he's even got one for England. England's not even got a release date yet.
Yeah, America didn't have a release date until like a week ago, so.
30th of January.
So then next up we've got Brick Mansions, talking about Paul Walker. Did you see the remake of District B-13 with Paul Walker?
I did.
And? Okay, fair enough. We'll leave it there.
It's such a shame that that's his last full film.
Despite me liking RZA as a person, is RZA the kiss of death for action movies? The Protector 2, Brick Mansions, even the Man with the Iron Fist or whatever that movie was. Isn't that the Man with the Iron Fist that he made? With
he directed
Russell Crowe and Pam Grier and stuff.
That's not a bad film. I don't know what it is about RZA. It's got a really over a plot in Brick Mansions that goes everywhere. And after you finish watching it, you just sort of like, I've just watched it. That's it.
Yeah.
You can carry on with your day and somebody would have to poke you and sort of say, remember you went to see that film? Because it just doesn't linger with you at all.
Yeah, whereas District B-13 is like jaw-dropping.
It's awesome. It's great. Yeah. It's such a good film. And like I say, it's just a shame that that is Paul Walker's last full film because he was better than that. That hopefully Fast 7 will be amazing, that everybody will remember that as his last full film.
Yeah. Okay, so in May, we're now on to May, we have Godzilla, X-Men, and Edge of Tomorrow.
Okay.
For me, Edge of Tomorrow beats all of those. Like, Edge of Tomorrow is, again, in my top 12.
Godzilla's good. X-Men's good. Edge of Tomorrow was just fucking brilliant.
Edge of Tomorrow was
good is that film? It's really good. Such a good film. My wife doesn't like Tom Cruise.
Right.
And I was like, what? He's gorgeous. But Action Cruise is great Cruise. And I said to her, I got her on the fact that it's... You don't like Tom Cruise, so you like Groundhog Day, and he gets killed a lot of times in it, so you'll probably like it.
Yeah.
And she came out of it, and she loved it. She really enjoyed Edge of Tomorrow. It's a damn good film.
What went wrong with X-Men Days of Future Past? Because I was very, like, of all the comic book movies that came out this year, I was very lukewarm on that one.
I liked it, but it just... I don't know, because I loved First Class. I fucking love X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
So thought of them all teaming up just seemed like, well, I thought X-Men Days of Future Past was going to be the biggest film of the year. And I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Maybe I built it up a bit too much in my head. Or maybe it's just the fact that Bryan Singer's not as good as Matthew Vaughn.
Oh, he's too busy touching boys.
Ooh.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
What happened with that?
I think anything has happened of it.
Okay. All right. So then in June, we have 22 Jump Street, which I haven't yet got to see. Transformers, which I'm never going to see. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I'm not going to see.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is great. Not as good as the first one.
Okay.
22 Jump Street is a fun film.
Okay.
Very,
I think I'll wait for Netflix or something for that.
It takes the piss out of itself in ways that, you see, you know, something like This Is the End, tried to do.
Yeah.
That failed. 22 Jump Street succeeds. It's very funny. The action's not typical action film, you know, it's sort of comedy action, but it's definitely worth watching. I really enjoyed it.
See, I miss the days of like Beverly Hills Cop, where you had comedy and then you had real fucking action. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, I do miss that. Anyway,
it's like edges on spoof, kind of 22 Jump Street.
Right, it's a bit like The Other Guys. Like, The Other Guys has good action, but the action is also clearly spoof action. You know what I mean?
I'd take the Jump Street films over The Other Guys any day of the week.
Right.
Definitely.
I'm just a Ferrell fan, but I like his type of comedy. But no, in terms of action, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So in July, it's a big year, a big month, July, for action, because we start off on the 8th with A Brony Tale.
I watched Deliver Us From Evil the other night, actually.
Oh, who's in that? Eric Banner and Edgar. Oh, that's the based on a true account by an NYPD policeman. I'm like, yeah, nutcase.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it doesn't make the story true just because someone sat down and went, I saw demons. Like, that doesn't mean that demons are true. But, like, they sold it as based on the true account by an NYPD officer. I'm like, but that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
No, because Fargo was based on a real story. It wasn't even true.
No, Fargo, they just put that up at the front.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean it's true, does it?
No.
But, and it's not a bad film. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Everything's based on a story. I mean, everything's based on a story. But no, it's just that in the trailer, it was like based on the true accounts of it. And I'm like, anyway. The best, you will never beat ever the trailer for Killer Elite, where you had him kick Clive Owen's ass, jump back onto the chair, break the chair, and then flip out of the window. And then the title came up based on a true story. That was the best thing I've ever seen, ever. That had me laughing harder than I've ever laughed at a trailer ever, because you show something that's so ludicrously untrue, but then it went based on a true story.
Yeah, just you were tremendous. Like, sold.
Yeah, sold. Brilliant. on the other hand, Deliver Us From Evil didn't sell me at all, because I was just like, ugh. Who's Eric Banner these days, anyway?
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Oh, was it good? Was it all right?
I enjoyed it, yeah. But
I mean, it's dopey, right? It's The Exorcist meets French Connection or something, right? It's bullshit.
Yeah, love it.
What have we got?
Purge Anarchy, right?
Fucking brilliant. Brilliant film. Loved it.
Did you see the first one?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one as well. Nobody else did. But the Purge Anarchy did everything right.
Nice.
You're watching The Purge and you're watching it thinking, God, well, I don't know what's going on outside that house.
Yeah.
And it's the best Punisher film that's not been made, because Frank Grillo is basically the Punisher in it, going around helping people. And he's just cool as thick in it. Purge Anarchy is fantastic. Really good film. It's the best film that John Carpenter didn't make.
Wow. High praise indeed. Okay, well, I need to get on that purge shit right away then, I guess.
It's not shit, it's good.
No, you know what I mean. Next up, Guardians of the Galaxy, which...
we're just skimming over Pokemon the movie, are we?
Yeah, we're skimming over Pokemon the movie.
That's good for me. I'll do that.
Yeah, Deancey and the Cocoon of Destruction was not high on my list. This year.
Statham turned it down.
Yeah. So, I don't do fucking sci-fi movies.
I don't want to fucking do Pikachu.
Pikachu's lost all his biscuits and now he's mad.
I'll fuck the life out of him. He's dead to me.
This time he's angry. Guardians of the Galaxy, the last half hour is going to take some beating in terms of comic book movies. Because I watched it again recently. In fact, I've watched it in January, so that's how recently I watched it. And it is, he is so holding up several plates in the air all at once and doing it really fucking well. I mean, you've got the fight between the two sisters. You've got them exploding into the room and trying to kill... what's it, Ronan or whatever his name is, with the big gun. You've got the spacecrafts from the planet trying to engulf the big spaceship and then them all, like, breaking down. You've got Michael Rooker landing on that planet and, like, firing the arrow through people. Like, there's so much going on, and it's just so well done. Like, you never feel out of it. It's always edited correctly. The pacing's great. The action's great. It's all good. And there's a whole bunch of moments in that last half hour that really grab your heartstrings and just give them a good old tug. And I'm getting a bit old and saggy around the edges, so I don't mind that so much. I'm not as cynical and angry as I used to be when I was younger. So I kind of like that about it. You know, like the whole flashback to his mom and all that.
I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy for me is what I wish the Avengers could be. Because everybody loves the Avengers, and I don't. I mean, I get why people love it.
Right.
And I can't honestly say that the Avengers is shit. It's just a film that I don't get. I'm not a huge Joss Whedon fan. But I do like James Gunn. And Guardians of the Galaxy was one of my films of the year.
I really did like it. And I think... what's insane about the Guardians of the Galaxy...
I think it gets better each time I watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
It does. And what's insane about it is that I'm going to go on record as saying Rocket and Groot are the two best fully realised CGI characters ever done. Ever.
Hands down. Rocket. Rocket Raccoon is one of the best characters this year.
And I know everyone's going to go, but what about fucking the Hobbit or the fucking Gollum or whatever the fuck his name is? And I'm like, no, look... Andy Serkis does an incredible performance, but I don't give a shit about Gollum. But I do give a shit about Rocket Raccoon, and I do give a shit about Groot.
Oh, that bit where Rocket Raccoon sort of says about him being tested on and, you know, I'm not vermin.
Right.
It was one of the best, you know, one of the best heart-jerking, tear-jerking moments this year. And then when at the end, when he's holding, the little branch... And Drax puts his hand on his head and sort of strokes it like a dog. It's like, oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, and by the way, Bautista, probably the best wrestler turned actor fucking forever. I mean, his performance in Guardians is fucking incredible.
Funny. Also one that tugs at your heart. He's good at the action.
I mean, seriously, though, I'm right. I mean, I love Roddy Piper. Of course I do. But in terms of acting, he couldn't do what Bautista does in Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. I mean...
And, you know, let's not get carried away with fucking Hulk Hogan and The Rock and all those guys. Like, they're good.
Not get carried away with Hulk Hogan.
You know, they're good. But, like fucking Bautista's... To me... It was him, Rocket, and Groot were the three characters that blew me out of the water. Like, I didn't really give a fuck about Star-Lord in the same way that I gave a fuck about those three.
No, I think they made the film. I think Rocket. I mean, I took Lily to see it, and Lily's favourite thing is Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
You know, I had to buy the plush toy for a birthday.
Oh, God, children wanting toys. Oh, for fuck's sake, grow up already.
It was more for me. But
well, I know you've got all those pop vinyls, so I was just making a joke. But...
Oh, yeah, I've got shitloads of them. I've got loads. Such a fucking kid. But David Bautista is going to be the henchman in the next Bond film. Nice. So,
but you see, I don't want him doing henchman roles. He could be the villain, as far as I'm fucking concerned.
Yeah, but he's going to be a threatening villain, henchman. After that film, I think they'll give him more.
But I think he's a good actor. I mean, the action and everything was fine. Like, you know, you can train people to do, like, kicks and punches. In fact, most of the fights in the movie he loses. But it was his performance was just so fucking good. I really liked him.
Yeah, it's good.
Hercules neither of us saw. Lucy, yeah. I fucking loved Lucy. I thought Lucy was awesome. Lucy is on my honourable mentions for the year. It doesn't get into the top 12, but it's my honourable mentions.
Yeah.
It would probably be, if I was going to do a top 15, it would probably be, because my three honorable mentions were Lucy, John Wick, and Snowpiercer. And it would probably go John Wick as number 13, Lucy as number 14, and Snowpiercer as number 15.
Yeah.
So Lucy would be my top four, top in my top 15. I really fucking loved Lucy. I love Lucy.
I love Lucy.
Did you see Lucy?
I did. I didn't really enjoy it, dude.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, really?
No. I was going in expecting like a really kick-ass action film, and all the action was in the trailer.
Yeah, okay. So you got this kind of like weird sci-fi movie.
Not to say that I don't sort of. To me, it was like, and it's. This is one of the only times I ever say it. The film was too short. There was so much yet to explain and what they could have done with it. It was like a pilot for a TV show. And
oh, right, I see, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At the end, I was sort of like, well, it just sort of finishes. It's like 90 minutes, and I just really wanted more action because it promised so much. That trailer with the going around, you know, kicking the shit out of everybody, I was like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So I just felt like I got sold a different film.
No, but I totally get that. If that's what you were thinking, then I totally see how that came across.
You know, it's not the worst film I've ever seen, certainly.
No, I really enjoyed it. It was a surprise to me because it was like I was going in expecting nothing. And
that's probably it. I was going in expecting...
Everything.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be probably one of the best action films of the year. And when you've seen most of the action scenes in the first 20 minutes and then nothing comes after that,
I was
really disappointed. But
no, I get that. Okay, we're going to have to speed on a bit, but because it's already 10 to 7, I've got to go out in 25 minutes. Okay, but The Expendables 3 is probably my biggest letdown for the year.
Yes. I'd agree with you on that. It was disappointing beyond words. And I think we've already touched on everything that we didn't like about it.
Yeah, I don't want to go over that again. But, I mean, it was my biggest disappointment of the year. Lots to like about it, but plenty to be disappointed in. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, not a lot of action in that, but a damn good film nonetheless.
Yeah, we've covered that already. I enjoyed that.
Did you see The November Man? It's another one that I'm missing off my list. I haven't seen
it. I don't even think that's been released here yet.
The Pierce Brosnan movie?
Yeah, I don't think that's been shown here yet.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to wait for it to come on to Netflix. But
if it has been out here, it wasn't on for long because it's gone already.
Okay.
Which I'm a bit gutted about because I do want to see it. But
It's not on here, but Ninja 2 came out this year, so I don't know. But
that's awesome.
Ninja 2 is my third favorite film of the year, and I think a better action sequel than The Raid, but for totally different reasons. The Raid is a great sequel. It's like The Raid is a great sequel. If there's going to be like a trilogy, for me, it's up there with the Godfather trilogy. Like if there's going to be a third Raid, like for me, The Raid 2 is that good. But
the completely polar opposites.
But Ninja 2, Shadow of a Tear, is like The Raid 1.
That's what I mean, yeah. The Ninja 1, they've tried to put too much plot in it.
Yeah.
And in the sequel, they went, let's just do an action film. Whereas The Raid 1 was like, it's all action. And the second one, they're like, let's put a bit of plot in it as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, very quickly, I said Ninja 2, Shadow of a Tear, The Raid 2 was the best action sequel of the year, right? Think again. The Raid 2 certainly qualifies as the thinking person's action sequel of the year. The Raid 2 allows everyone from knuckleheads to academics alike to stroke their collective beards and proclaim it a good movie. Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear, on the other hand, sadly, more often than not, elicits the response, wait, there was a Ninja 1? Or, who's this Scott Atkins fella? Or, is this some dumb movie like those 80s ninja films that I like to derisively laugh at because I'm a bit of an obnoxious twat? Scott Atkins, for those not in the know, is a British martial artist and actor who has been, much like the director Isaac Florentine, paying his dues in straight-to-video fare for way longer than is reasonable. For the past 9 years, the pair have produced some of the best action cinema you've probably never seen. If you have, and I'm preaching to the converted, then pat yourself heartily on the back, and I'll assume you've seen Ninja 2 or are going to. The rest of you, go watch this movie now. While Ninja 1, much like Gareth Evans and Iko Uwais's with Miranta Warrior, was a director and an actor figuring out a way to go and stumbles only slightly in its balance between old-school simple storytelling and kinetic acrobatic action, Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear is like The Raid or Tony Jaa's Protector before it, an off-the-hook tear through action set-piece after action set-piece in all its breathtaking, high-kicking, balletic splendor, with director and actor working together at the top of their game.
And I would agree with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you said in that.
I love that. And I'm doing this to champion a movie that everyone should have seen who's an action fan and they didn't. So for me, Ninja 2 Shadow of a Tear gets like my action movie of the year, and Scott Atkins gets my actor of the year. The Raid 2 probably gets my like best...
thinking man's action film.
Yeah, best like... I mean, Raid 2 is sort of like the best... Well, we'll go with best foreign language, but like the two of them together,
and that's the way you get around it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but two of them, the two of them together, are my action film of the year. Like, if I was to watch two movies right now, it would be The Raid 2 followed by Ninja 2.
Yes.
That would be my two movies right now, and I could sit and watch them anytime, anywhere, as often as people want me to. The same goes for Nonstop. Could sit and watch that fucking, and The Equalizer. Like, all the action movies I have on my list, which are The Equalizer, Nonstop, Edge of Tomorrow, Raid 2 and Ninja 2, I could sit and watch them all back to back right now and have no
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, yeah, I'd stick the Pear Janicky on it as well.
Yeah.
For me.
But yeah, fucking Ninja 2, if you haven't fucking seen it, you are, oh, you're missing out. You're missing out on some of the greatest fucking
film.
Action sequences. And I'm not, look, putting it up there with The Protector and The Raid, I'm not exaggerating. That's no exaggeration. It is up there with The Protector, The Raid, District B-13. Like, all those movies that are just fucking action, 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 action.
It's so much better than it really it has any right to be. It's
right.
the martial arts are on a par with The Protector and, you know, films that are made... you know, in the countries of their origin. And this is an American film, and it's done it right. And the fact that Scott Atkins has not been chosen for the lead in the Raid remake just shows how stupid that is. So that just shows they've not seen Ninja 2.
Oh, yeah, no, if anyone wants to know, like Gareth Evans, when asked about the Raid remake and when asked about action stars that he liked, Scott Atkins is the first guy he mentions.
Yeah,
director of The Raid speaking. That's the director of the movie that everyone fucking creams over and loves, and quite rightly so. He says that Scott Atkins is like the action guy, next to Iko, obviously.
But put it this way, at some point, Gareth Evans and Scott Atkins will make a film together.
And Iko Uwais. Imagine that. Imagine either Iko and Scott teaming up, or Iko versus Scott. Either way, the audience wins.
It'll probably be one of the greatest action films done right. And you know what? Like I said on the Raid episode, the scary thing about Gareth Evans is I don't think he's made his best film yet.
Yeah.
I think that's still yet to come, and I think it will be fucking so good.
I mean, I haven't... I love Marantau. I love The Raid, and I love The Raid 2. I mean, for those being your first three movies or whatever, that's an insanely good track record. I mean, they're just, I can't think of a better one. I mean, that's insanely good.
Uwais Boll. he had a good one.
No, I mean, because even like John Carpenter, he's like, he has a run of it in the 80s, but it's not his first three movies, you know?
No, he's not.
So that's fucking incredible. So yeah, check out Ninja 2, definitely. Check out The Raid 2. Like, I can't sing the praises of those two movies in 2014 higher in terms of action.
Yeah.
The Equalizer we had in September, another fucking phenomenal movie, and quite a surprise as well, because
the Equalizer was the biggest surprise, because I wasn't going to see it. I was thinking I might watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray. My uncle said to me, "The Equalizer is quite good. Do you want to go and see that?" And I was like, "Should I go and see it?" Then that day, you also messaged me and said, "You've got to go and see The Equalizer." So I went that evening, and it's so fucking good.
Right?
It's
Isn't it good?
So good. Forget your preconceived notions that it's a remake of the TV series. It's just got the same name.
That's the only bad thing about it, is that they called it The Equalizer. That's the only bad thing about it.
Yeah, it's right. They had the name The Equalizer. It's a cool title, so they put it on. Denzel Washington is fucking brilliant in it. It's just such a good film. It's such a good film.
What I liked about it was I loved the way it built up.
Yeah.
Because what happened was, I was sat in the theatre and I was like watching it, and I was like, okay, I've got to get into the rhythm of this, and I've got to get into the rhythm of it quickly, or I'm not going to enjoy it. So I like dialed my brain back and like got into a far more kind of relaxed, slow, almost European pace.
Mm.
In terms of movie making,
smoked a shit ton.
I did. I sat back. I wanked off someone sitting next to me.
Christensen.
Yeah. I pursed my lips. I rubbed my stomach with semen from a young French boy. I was watching it and I was like, okay, cool. And it was sort of like, you know, they talk about like the action monk or the samurai, or, you know, they have all this like stuff. To me, in other movies where they labor the point, they're always like, he is walking the path of the samurai and blah, 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 blah. I'm always like, ugh, get on with it. In this movie, he is walking the path of the samurai. Like, he is, but it's all done in just Denzel's acting. No one comes over and is like, he is the greatest thing ever, but look at him being all detached and whatever. Never happens in the movie. He's just got this like world weariness about him.
He's not got this air of arrogance about him.
He's a genuinely lovely guy. I mean, look at the way he's trying to train the guy at work to like lose weight and become.
It's just I'm doing what I'm doing. The difference is, right, if you were doing all that shit that he does in it, you know, he gets the wedding ring back for that woman.
Uh-huh.
It's like a family heirloom, isn't it?
Yeah.
If that was me, he just puts it in the till.
Yeah.
If that was me, I'd go in, swing my dick into work going, look what I did, got your earring back.
In fact, the only thing that bothered me is that we didn't get to see him kick the shit out of those guys. Like, I know it wouldn't have been much of a fight because they were just, like, a couple of kids, but I would have loved to have seen him kick the shit out of them.
Well, it's not so much you want to see him kick the shit out of them, you want to see him do the speech to them.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Denzel Washington can deliver a great speech.
Oh, fuck yes. I mean, I need to see this again and quickly because it... I remember it in the. I remember coming out of the cinema going, "Fuck yes!" Like, especially after that, like Home Depot ending.
Yeah,
I know it's not Home Depot, but you know, like that it's meant to be. Like Lowe's and Home Depot, which are the two big warehouse DIY stores in the US. The fact that they didn't get in on this movie. Idiots. Fucking idiots. Because it's the best... Like, I thought, oh, really? They're going to have this ending? And then it just went... It's like Rambo-esque, the ending, but set in a DIY shop. Like, that's what's awesome about it. He's, like, setting up little fucking booby traps and...
You know what I loved about the film? And this is kind of a spoiler, so if you've not seen it, just skip over the next minute. What I loved about it was... What you get in one of these films is everybody knows he's so good, and they bring in somebody who's an even bigger badass.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, well, he's going to have to watch his back now. But he doesn't, because he's so fucking good, he just starts taking everybody out. Nobody, he really is untouchable in it.
And having the fucking sprinklers come on so that it's in the rain, essentially, was just genius. Yeah. I just fucking loved it. Because you get that slow motion of him coming around the corner. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, more. It was great.
It could have been really boring, the fact that nobody can really touch him. But you're just like, nah, Denzel's my boy.
Yeah, awesome.
And I want to see him kick the shit out of everybody.
I hope they do a sequel. I was just about to say the same thing.
I hope there is a sequel. I hope it's quick. Did it make money?
Let's go to Box Office Mojo. Oh, fuck yeah, it did. Fuck yeah, it did. Budget, 55 mil. Worldwide gross, 191 million.
So, and that's not even with the...
Domestic was 100 mil, dude.
Oh, so yeah, this is going to be a sequel then.
Yeah, fucking, it's one of the few movies, believe it or not, that domestically did better than it did worldwide. Mostly, like, with stuff like The Expendables, it does shit in the US, and then it does, like, 200 million worldwide. This did 100 mil in the US and 90 mil in...
It's already been announced.
Oh, it has, the sequel?
It looks like it, yeah.
Fuck,
it looks,
yes.
In development.
Nice. Now, they better do, because, like, this to me is, like, what was the sleeper hit of this year. Because no one fucking expected anything from this movie, I'm pretty sure. And it is the sleeper hit of this year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Really enjoyed that movie. Okay, so, and in fact, it appears on number 7 of my top 12 movies of 2014. All right, next up, not much in the month of October for action, except we had Fury and John Wick. I haven't seen Fury.
I want to see John. I want to see John Wick, but I've not seen Fury yet. I will see that.
David Ayer, second direct screenplay that he did this year. That's crazy, because he did Sabotage as well, right?
He did. Yeah, I do like David Ayer. I do like David Ayer.
I'm not a fan, so I didn't rush to see Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf.
Mo
gives it a great fucking review. So.
Yeah, and if we know anything about Mo,
he's good.
Pervert.
He knows shit.
He does.
Probably a bit where Shia LaBeouf wipes his cock on the tank or something.
Yeah, I mean, he fucking hates Shia LaBeouf as much as we do, but he sort of says he's not bad in it. So, if it's good enough for Mo, it's good enough for me, and I'm going to see that shit when it comes out.
Now, John Wick, fucking awesome movie. This is going to be a problem for pirates. For pirating, I mean.
Arr!
John Wick's going to be a problem for pirating because it came out in October here. It actually ran through... Its opening was in October, but it ran through well into November. I didn't see it till quite late. It was like... I think it was on its last week or second to last week when I saw it. Mm. But it ran for well over a month. But it's not out in the UK till when?
April the 10th.
Fucking April. That is going to get... so many illegal downloads, it's ridiculous. And that, like, I am not a fan of pirating movies. I'm really fucking not. I love going to the cinema. I absolutely love going to the cinema to see movies. I still think it's the only fucking way to see a decent fucking movie. Now, if it's a drama or a little indie movie or whatever.
It's an event, isn't it?
Whatever. But if it's a fucking action movie like John Wick, I don't care how good your fucking TV is. You go see it in the theatre. But don't make people wait fucking 5 months to see it. Stupid. That's going to get pirated or people are going to buy it in Blu-ray from Asia or America or Europe or somewhere.
It's out February in America. France are releasing it in March. So I'll see it March.
And you'll love it. I tell you what, you will fucking love it. You will fucking love it.
And see, not everybody's, you know, I'll most likely see it before. I'll probably get the Blu-ray and I'll probably go and see it at the cinema because I think I'll need to see it at the cinema just to say, fuck yeah, I've seen John Wick at the cinema. Not everybody's going to do that. A lot of people will just go, fuck it, I'll just watch it then. I'll just download it.
For me, it was between this and The Equalizer in terms of, like, Lone Man with a Gun movie, like, what I was going to put in my top 12, like, it was between this and The Equalizer. I went for The Equalizer because it was more of a surprise, like, I was more enthralled by The Equalizer, and I find Denzel more of a charismatic screen prep. Like, I just got into The Equalizer more, but I know everyone says, like, John Wick is about a guy avenging the death of his dog. It is... And it is so much fucking more than that. And they do that particular thing so fucking well. There's hardly any build-up, right? There's hardly any build-up. But the build-up that there is exactly the perfect amount. It's all you fucking need. And there's maybe only one other scene of dialogue in the whole movie. The rest is all just fucking action.
Excellent. Yeah. You see, that's the problem. It's probably my... After I saw the trailer, I think I posted it on Facebook on our group. I think I sent you the trailer. I was like, that looks so fucking good. So the fact that that must have been about September.
Yeah.
The fucking fact I've had to wait now for so long to see it is awful.
Just, dude, seriously, they should release everything worldwide, same fucking time. The companies, I understand there are different territories and blah, 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 but the companies should fucking figure it out and talk to each other and release at the same time. And I would even go as far as to say, fuck it, release it on demand, DVD, Blu-ray, and in the theatre all at the same time. Because I tell you what, if you did that, if I went and liked a movie in the cinema and I could walk to Best Buy right after the movie and go buy it, I'd go fucking buy it. So I don't understand why they wait. They wouldn't make any less money. Like
they probably make more money.
They probably would make more money. That's the thing. They would probably make more money.
Because let's be honest, sometimes you go and see a film at the cinema and you come out so pumped because you've had like a good time at the cinema watching a film. You come out and you go, that's really good. And you know, after a while, you probably think about it and go, yeah, it was just all right, so I probably won't buy it. But if you're on that high, walking out of the cinema, and then go, you know, you walk past the Best Buy and go, fuck it, I'll just go in and buy it.
Yeah, right. Then I tell you what, because there was a few movies...
You wake up in the morning going, oh, my God, I bought a brony film.
I bought a movie with Dame Maggie Smith in it. there were movies this year that I came out of. Auntie Jo Wick. Oh, hello, dearie, come in. Either that or it's a gay porn movie. About candle sex or something. But no,
watch it.
I would watch it, yeah. but I tell you what, there were movies like Birdman. I would have come out, I know it's not an action movie, but I would have come out of Birdman and bought that straight away. Equalizer would have come out of that, bought it straight away. There's so many I would have just bought straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the ones you mentioned, I think I'd done that.
Yeah.
I think I have.
There's not many others. What we got? We got The Hobbit. I mean, I don't give a fuck about that, but you like it. What else do we have? Nothing really left in the year.
No, I don't think there is. There was that, there's been ones that have been released straight to DVD or whatever, but that they're not on the list. I can't really think of them off the top of my head. We've already mentioned The Prince. I watched that. That's not a bad film at all. There's been some damn good films this last year.
I don't think it was a stellar year, but no, I think it was the
best year. But I mean,
not enough Statham.
No, that's the problem with this year. Last year, fuck's sake, 2015.
Because I mean, you think about the previous years. You know, we had fucking Escape Plan and Homefront and The Last Stand and Bullet to the Head.
The year that we had The Expendables 2 and The Raid in the same year was just a year where we ran out of spunk. It was such a good
By like the fourth month of the year, I'm just shooting puffs of chalk.
Yeah.
Out of my cock, yeah.
Yeah. And this year, but there's been some good films. There's, you know, definitely been some good films.
So I'll quickly run down what's on Facebook, and then I'm sorry, Chief, I have to wrap this up.
No, that's all right. It's cool.
Denzel Washington, The Equalizer, best action star. That's from my friend Jamela Chase. I would definitely put him up there. I'm going to go Scott Atkins, Iko Uwais, and then Denzel Washington, and then Liam Neeson. That's going to be my top four action stars of the year. What about you, sir?
Denzel, Scott Atkins, Iko Uwais, Frank Grillo in the Captain America and the Purge Anarchy.
Nice. Jason Ritter says John Wick for best action film.
Oh, I'd love to agree.
We'd love to be able to watch it. Okay, then Jamila, because she's a big fan of The Hobbit, she says best stunts The Hobbit. I think she means part two. I said cartoons don't count.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's a spectacle, but let's be honest, it's...
And she actually agreed. She actually agreed. She said halfway through the movie, it does look like a cartoon. Then she says Benedict Cumberbatch should win all awards. And I went, no, he shouldn't.
Well, it depends. Freakiest looking cock in cinema. Yes, absolutely.
But no, so she says best performance by a cast, the cast The Hobbit, and best action film of 2014, The Hobbit.
Listen, the problem with Cumberbatch is he fucked himself completely with me by taking the role of Khan. It's unforgivable.
Yeah, it's absolutely unforgivable.
I'm like a fucking elephant. I've got a big nose and big ears, and I don't forget.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Payne is watching Christopher Walken in McBain at the moment. Yeah, that's right. He's watching me and McBain. My favourite bit of McBain is when he turns round to Ironside and goes, "You sit here like an old man with your back to the ocean." It's great. I love it. Such a good movie. Okay, so here we go. Quick rundown. Peter Pedro Osmond says, biggest surprise and biggest letdown. Well, I think we've covered that, but biggest surprise, Equalizer. Biggest letdown, Expendables 3. Yours, Doc?
That I could actually probably agree with that.
Okay. Peter also then asks, he says his biggest surprise was The Guest, and his biggest letdown was 3 Days to Kill. You see, I don't know that 3 Days to Kill can be a letdown if it's by McGee and it's actually half watchable.
No, I'd call that more of a miracle.
Yeah, it's more of a fucking miracle. But okay, each their own. He also said, I've been very vocal about my praise for Snowpiercer. Now, we didn't really mention Snowpiercer because it wasn't on that list for whatever reason. It may have been one of those that just, like,
Not been properly released.
Anyway,
another film. I've got the Blu-ray from France,
right?
But it didn't get a proper release in America. I don't think it's certainly not got a release here in the UK.
No.
Why the fuck not? It's got so much praise. It's got some good action in it. It's a comic book movie. It's got the lead actor from Marvel, Chris Evans, in it.
Yeah.
What? Why is that taking so long to fucking get out?
Don't know. But I agree with you. I do agree. But yeah, Snowpiercer was good. I didn't go nuts over it like everyone else did. I think it's a really good sci-fi film. I'm not sure how good an action movie it is.
No, who's the woman in it?
Tilda Swinton.
She's great in it.
Yeah, no, look, the performances are great. The script is great. It's an interesting idea, but I wouldn't call it an action movie. Like, someone said, oh, it's the raid on a train. I'm like, it's
no,
not.
No. I was expecting action. I enjoyed it. I've got to watch it again. But it is a good film. But no, I'd say it's more like a sci-fi comic book thriller, you know, with action in it. The action's good in it, but it's not like apparently John Wick.
Peter then asks, who do you think is the best action director working in Hollywood at the moment? For my money, it would be Antoine Fuqua. I mean, Gareth Evans, he's not working in Hollywood yet, but Gareth Evans.
Worldwide cinema, it's probably Gareth Evans. Antoine Fuqua is a good call. He's had a really good run. I do like his films.
Yeah.
Training Day, I really liked. Equalizer, I really liked. Olympus Has Fallen was really good as well.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, if we're talking straight Hollywood, I mean, just on the back of Equalizer and Olympus Has Fallen, I'd go for that, yeah.
Yeah, he's a damn good action director.
Because Olympus Has Fallen, you know, and I don't even like Gerard Butler.
But, yeah.
I think that's great. I can't wait for the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they impale Boris Johnson on a.
Nobody said Michael Bay.
There's only one Michael who could direct action, and that was me, and I'm dead.
Well, God, I keep forgetting his name. Isaac Florentine is another good action director.
Yes. I would probably say Isaac Florentine and Antoine Fuqua if we're talking just Hollywood, Gareth Evans for the world.
Yes, definitely. He's a. Do you mean for the world presidency?
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
Eric Foster says, best use of home and garden tools as weapons, not to mention the best use of a home and garden store as a final showdown area. Denzel Washington, The Equalizer. Most underappreciated action film, Edge of Tomorrow. Not by us, Eric. We loved it. Best foreign language action film. Come on, do I need to say it? The Raid. And then he says, are you taking worst nominees as well? I said yes, but he... Did he come back? Oh, yeah, he did. Poorest attempt to become the next Liam Neeson, Pierce Brosnan in The November Man. Well, I haven't seen it, but it would have to be between him and Kevin Costner, who both tried to do a Liam Neeson this year. And 3 Days to a Kill, pretty good. I'd have to see The November Man to find out.
Yeah, I remember, I think Matt Payne said that he saw it and thought it was all right.
Yeah, movie that contained more F-bombs than actual real dialogue, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Sabotage.
That's a fucking joke.
And then Jason Ritter says, best action film, John Wick, ? And I said, Jason, are you asking us or telling us? And he said, asking.
No. You give us your opinions, Jason.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong. If that's what you think it is, that's great. My only problem with it is you've seen it and I've not.
Yeah, he's not seen it. But I think that's it. Who do we have any other comments? I don't think so, right?
No, I don't think we have, no.
But thank you for everybody who has commented. It's greatly appreciated.
Yes, I agree. And never read Total Film again because they seem to think that Dwayne Johnson is better than Arnie.
Yeah, that's true.
Stupid. Okay, so you're seeing Taken 3 on the weekend. Taken 3 tonight. And we are doing a commentary next week. So the next episode you hear after this one, we will talk about Taken 3. But thank you for doing this rundown of 2014, sir. I've had a pleasure. I hope we've pushed some people towards watching more action, as always.
Yes, I hope so too. Next time we talk, hopefully we'll do a few more dick jokes and Christmas gags.
True. This was a different type of show, but that's fine. It's all right to break it up occasionally.
I enjoy breaking it up occasionally.
Fuck me, Bruce Lee just followed me on Twitter.
It's just followed me as well.
I thought he was dead.
And apparently not. Apparently he's living as a monk in Skegness.
He just followed me.
Yeah, just followed me as well.
Wow.
Mostly quotes from the legendary action film. Well,
action film star, martial arts instructor and founder of Jeet Kune Do.
And they've got more followers in the following.
Yeah, look at that right there.
Showing up is the fool's idea of glory.
Here at Bloody Long Last is the start of my list for the best, worst, and downright what the fuck were they thinking list of 2014.
Who's this?
James Peter Cox. He recommends Sabotage. He says, Arnie and his merry men and one woman who all come across crazier than bad guys blast their way through multiple naughty drug dealers in this awesome actioner, which a lot of people seem to have tons of problems with. Not me, I fucking loved it. Love the fact the film does not end where a lot of movies would and actually switches gears, turning into a western of sorts in the closing moments, finishing with our anti-hero getting some form of redemption at the end. No easy answers to this one, which is, to me, at least what made this Arnie action a pretty damn special. Recommended.
Mm.
That was from James Peter Cox.
Yeah. Yes.
So there we go. That's two votes for Sabotage then on this show. Yeah, so that was great. Fantastic. 2014. What were your top ones, dude? I don't know if you got to say those, did you or not?
What, my favourite films or favourite action films?
Favourite action film and favourite action star.
Favourite action film. I don't know. Favourite action star, I'm going to go with... Yeah, the more we talk about it, the more I'm thinking that Equalizer is one of my favourite films of the year, so I might have to just go with the Equalizer.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's been some good ones.
I'm going to tell Scott Atkins that he won our action star of the year.
But I met Scott Atkins this year, so it's Scott Atkins.
Scott Atkins. All right, Chief. Well, I've got to head out, but all the best, sir, and I will talk to you after
the weekend. Talk to you next week. Enjoy taking three, and I shall speak to you probably tomorrow on Facebook anyway.
All right, man. Take care.